And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
That we can, and so help us God, we will make America great again.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the No Gimmicks Podcast. I'm your host, Birdie Leonard.
And I want to introduce myself today. I'm your producer in studio and here in beautiful snowy Toledo is myself, Jake Richards.
You're starting to get it, Jake. You know how we roll now.
Yeah.
So the Grammy Awards were last night.
Were they?
I did not watch them. Guessing you did not either.
I didn't even know. What are the Grammys?
It used to be, some kind of music award show.
About talent or something.
Professional musician. I haven't watched the Grammys in 10 years. So let's play a little game of things you would rather do than watch the Grammy Awards or any award show.
I would rather drink fermented wine, which doesn't exist.
I mean, wine is fermented. What does that mean?
I would rather drink really, really like...
How about fermented milk?
That sounds better.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm drinking wine right now.
Like fermented wine's just... That's like a good thing.
Well, I would rather do that.
Would you rather... here's a tough one here. And I don't want to get too personal, but would you rather pass a kidney stone?
Well, funny you should say. Brady, would you rather watch me pass a kidney stone than watch the Grammy?
I don't know. Either way, I'd probably want to stab my eyes out afterwards. So, oh man. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see the ratings on stuff like the Grammys and the Oscars. I can't imagine very many people watch them anymore.
Well, I mean, really the only people that are watching them anymore are like hawk news sites like BuzzFeed, where they just want to pull the most liberal moment of it and just like put like, this person said this, and they always have to put a tagline, and it was awesome, or and we loved it. I cannot stand news like that.
Well, leftists are all, getting a massage today because their backs are sore from patting themselves on the back. It's usually how these award shows roll.
But, like, you hate Trump? So do I.
How brave.
You're a brave
how
man.
How noble and brave.
I wonder if Eminem went.
I think he's just pissed that Trump won't acknowledge him.
Yeah, he's like...
How pissed is he because Trump called out Jay-Z? And Eminem has been trying to get Trump to tweet at him for like 6 months. He's like so mad that Trump is ignoring him, then Jay-Z attacks him and Trump attacks Jay-Z back. It's like, come on! Been trying to get a reaction forever.
Well, that just goes to show that Trump isn't racist. But like the thing is, dude, like... Eminem was in an interview and he was like, man, I just thought he would respond.
It's just sad.
That can't is get a response. So sad. Poor Mathers.
Now he's still mad at Trump, also mad at Jay-Z. Now they're going to start a beef because Jay-Z at least gets attention from the president.
I can't wait for the rap battles against Jay-Z.
I think Jay-Z's going to take that one running away.
Most likely.
Yeah, he's a lot more talented than Eminem. But anyway, we had a great guest today.
We did.
A great guest.
Very
Alana
smart.
Alana Mastrangelo from Turning Point USA and the Washington Examiner. She was very generous with her time. And yeah, she was a great guest. Really smart. It was a good chat.
Yeah, she knew her stuff and she was on the Trump train virtually from the beginning, which makes her smarter than most of us.
It was good. It was a good chat. And we definitely got to get her back on. So without further ado, here's our chat with Alana. All right, guys, we're here with Alana. How are you doing today? Thanks for taking the time to come on the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, did you watch the Grammys last night by any chance?
I did not, but I caught a snippet of course, Hillary Clinton reading or attempting to read the Fire and Fury book.
Oof.
That happened.
Apparently that happened. See, me and Jake did not watch it either. We were doing like grown man shit, and I just didn't have the time. Actually, I did have the time. We had that meeting that got over with at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I totally could have watched it. And I ended up watching a fishing documentary that I've already seen instead of the Grammys. So that's where I'm at in life right now. But I don't do award shows. I just can't handle it. But so Hillary Clinton read from the Michael Wolff book at the Grammys. Apparently, that's interesting.
Very Hillary like.
That'll win her.
I didn't turn the sound on. I saw the video, but I can't really listen to it because, you know, the same thing over and over again. You know what to expect. It's kind of predictable at this point, but.
I'd imagine that's about as politically effective as not going to Wisconsin. I'd say it's in the same vein.
Yeah.
So over the weekend, I think we've reached full insanity in terms of protest. On the last episode, me and Jake laid out the good and bad reasons to protest something. You know, like protesting war is reasonable, stuff like that. Protesting net neutrality, not very reasonable.
Chopping up babies.
Yeah, protesting chopping up babies and selling them is you know, very reasonable. But people in Washington, D.C. on Saturday were protesting tax cuts. They were actually protesting tax cuts, which I think we've reached peak insanity at this point. They're actually protesting keeping more of their own money. Is this where we're at as a society? I don't know. What do you think?
I think with certain people, just because it's Trump who did it, you know, if anybody else did it, they'd probably have a different reaction. But it's just kind of the goal is to oppose Trump and whatever he's doing. So whether it's good or bad, you know, just have to be in the opposition or the resistance, I should say.
I can't help but think this is also just Stockholm syndrome. You know, like these statists have been so brainwashed by the state that they think that they owe the government all of their money or something like that. I know it's very annoying for libertarians to call people statists because, like, we call everybody a statist, but I don't know a better way to put it. Like, this is full-blown Stockholm syndrome, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And the protesters looked about like what you'd expect. A lot of young college-age girls and a bunch of, like, dudes that weigh 100 pounds. You know, like the kind of, like, bitch made. It was exactly what you'd expect protesting tax cuts, I think.
I mean, basically people that don't make any money.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have jobs. So, you know, they can, yeah. I really think that the Democrats are just being completely outmaneuvered at this point. Obviously on the economy. The nightmare for the Democratic Party is happening right now, and that's that the tax cuts are working. Like 3.2 million people have received a bonus as a direct result of these tax cuts, and wages are going up. And every single Democrat in Congress voted against the tax cuts. So you have to think, coming up on the midterm elections, that's going to bite them in the ass.
Mm-hmm. And even further, they go as far as to say that it's just crumbs, and that it's not going to be really... you know, $1,000 or whatever is not going to be any beneficial to them because it's not, you know, it just shows how out of touch elitist everyone is inside the Beltway.
Yeah, it's actually my goal in life to make enough money that I don't care if I, like, have $1,000 or not. I think that's, like, a benchmark that I'm always shooting for, that I just don't give a shit if I get an extra grand in my pocket.
I don't think I'll ever reach that point.
I'm too cheap.
Yeah, there's no way.
It doesn't matter how much I make. I don't think I'd ever... I'm still cutting coupons and stuff, you know? I just don't think... Yeah, obviously calling bonuses crumbs is not very bright on the part of Nancy Pelosi and the, you know, the House Democrats. But the Democrats are also being completely outmaneuvered on immigration, and I really want to get into that. I was reading a little bit of the stuff you've written, Elena, and like you seem like you've been on the Trump train since the beginning, right? Is that fair to say?
Pretty much. Well, I was on the cruise crew. I don't know if that was what it was called in the beginning, but then I did switch to Trump later on. So,
gotcha. So does it scare you a little bit how liberal his opening argument on immigration was? How he basically offered amnesty for 1.8 million DACA recipients and stuff like that. That was way more liberal or moderate than I thought. And you see a lot of, like, the Ann Coulter types are pretty angry. You know, they feel a little betrayed over that. I mean, it was very strange how it played out, because he offered amnesty to, like, twice as many quote-unquote dreamers as the Democrats wanted. And all he asked for in return was, like, $25 billion to start the wall and into the diversity visa lottery. and the Democrats called him racist. Even though he's offering amnesty for more people than Barack Obama did, and it's still racist and white supremacist and stuff like that. So as a Trump supporter, what do you think about his immigration proposal? And then what do you think about the Democrats rejecting it? I mean, it seems absolutely insane. I mean, this is everything they've ever wanted.
With the Democrats, I think that there's always going to be, just because it's Trump, there's always going to be something that they're going to find to complain about. And with Trump, I don't know. I guess we'd have to wait and see, because every single time the Ann Coulter types and that part of his base freaks out, they always seem to be pleasantly surprised in the end. So maybe they'll work something out. And, if the Democrats hold strong against the deal because it's not good enough, maybe something will change and we'll be pleasantly surprised. But I don't know, we'll wait and see, because I don't think he's let us down yet. So
no, but I agree.
It would be a big deal if he kind of caved and, a couple million illegals suddenly became legal. So I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah. The only thing that I necessarily disagree with in the proposal, it's not letting the DACA recipients stay. I think that was always going to happen no matter what. I think it was a ridiculous pipe dream for Ann Coulter to think that we were literally going to round up like 12 million people and deport them. Because that's just
Trail of Tears.
Yeah, it just was never going to happen. But the path to citizenship, I hope that doesn't happen, because that seems a little crazy. I'm fine with legal status, but a path to citizenship and, the right to vote, even though you came here illegally, seems a little bit too far. And
it sounds like a bullet in your own side.
It's just funny. Trump didn't ask for very much. $25 billion, sounds like a lot, but that's not going to build very much. I don't think he's not going to build a 2,000-mile wall on the southern border. I think if he builds anything on the southern border, that'll be a win. He just wants to build something. Like, just build a tent on the southern border, and he could say, look, we're building the wall. Like, that's all he's asking for. He's not really asking for much here. I don't really think the Democrats want to make a deal. They're not going to get a better deal from Republicans than this. Once this hits the House of Representatives, Jim Jordan and the Freedom Caucus, these guys are not going to it's only going to get more conservative from here. So the Democrats rejecting a golden offer like this, I think you got to think. They rejected tax reform. Now they're rejecting immigration reform. They're going to look really bad in the midterms. They don't really want to get anything done, I don't think. The generic ballot still looks bad for the midterms. It's like D plus 6 or something. But you have to think, with all the, it's trying to shut down literally anything that the Republicans are doing that's going to bite them in the ass. How do you think the deal on immigration turns out? Fast forward a year, because it's not going to get done by March or whatever they said. If Congress does pass some kind of immigration reform, what do you think it looks like?
I am not sure what's going to happen with that. Maybe not, like you guys said, maybe not a path to citizenship. But I could see legal status for X amount of people. I don't know. I can't tell what's going to happen. What do you guys think?
I don't know. We've been talking about it for ever. Decades. And I don't know.
I think it's kind of an impossible thing to kind of call out, because really the Democrats' strategy right now is deny whatever Trump's offering, no matter what it is, no matter how good it sounds, and call him a racist. We don't want him to get anything done. We don't want to seem like we're willing to work with him, even if he's being actually reasonable. So it's hard to tell what happens, if anything, so they can keep dragging out. Trump doesn't want to get DACA done. Trump doesn't want to get DACA done.
The Democrats are obviously obstructionist, but it's not like we got any kind of immigration reform done under Obama or George W. Bush either.
Yeah.
We've been kicking this can down the road forever.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would not put it past Congress to continue that longstanding tradition of kicking cans down the road. If we don't get an immigration deal done at all, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I can't picture it too, because it's something that has been talked about for a while and there hasn't been any progress made. So I don't know.
I do think that I think that Trump has to get something built on the southern border, or it would be literally the worst broken campaign promise since George H.W. Bush, read my lips, no new taxes. And then he raised taxes the next year. He's not going to build 2,000 miles of wall, but he needs to build something. He has to build anything. Just so he can say, look, we're building something on the southern border. Like, he absolutely has to, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think he will.
Yeah.
I think that's something that's definitely going to happen. Just because it's Trump, and he said it so often, and, you know, he wants to be a winner and known as someone who follows through, and that's something that he's definitely going to... I mean, that was a huge focal point of his campaign, so...
Yeah.
For sure.
It was kind of the focal point. It was the issue for a long time, yeah.
Alana, Brady doesn't believe in the wall, but I'm with you. I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be huge.
It's not going to be huge.
I think it's going to be huge.
I've made the drive along that entire border before. It's like an 18-hour drive.
Alana, let him know. It's going to happen. It has to happen.
No, I think it will. But I will admit that I thought the wall was a figurative form of speech at first. I thought it meant whatever is necessary, whether it's, you know, stronger border policy or what have you, like not a literal wall, but come to find that it's a literal wall. You know, let's go with it and see what happens. Yeah. I think it will happen, though. But
I mean, securing the border, I'm not a big wall guy. I take the kind of libertarian positions like we're way in debt. I don't want to spend money on anything until we balance the budget, that kind of thing. But look, anything to secure the border is better than what we have now, which is a completely insecure border. So if building a wall helps, build a wall. Knock yourself out. Let's do it. I'm down. I'm not anti-wall. It's just not like one of my main...
Right.
It's not like something that I would vote for or against with any conviction, you know? So let's talk a little bit about the FBI stuff going on. We haven't talked too much about it because there's just so much that hasn't come out yet. And Jake's a big conspiracy guy. I'm not. But obviously, it looks from where I'm sitting like there is some serious corruption in the FBI. Mm-hmm. Obviously, talking about the Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who were these senior FBI officials who were having an affair, and the FBI misplaced tens of thousands of texts, which
misplaced,
and then they found some of them, and I guess it's bad. I don't know if these people are going to see any justice or anything. I don't know if we're going to take down, you know, corrupt actors within the FBI. I also don't think that Robert Mueller is going to find anything connecting Trump to Russia. I just think the only thing that's happening right now is that both sides are completely losing faith in the FBI. I think that's kind of, we're just playing this game and everybody hates the FBI. I mean, where are you on this?
Well, a lot is unfolding today, even with
breaking news.
Director Ray reading the memo, and then the FBI text messages getting retrieved by the DOJ. And now it looks like Andrew McCabe was removed. They first said he was just stepping down, but then another report came out saying that he's actually removed from the Bureau. So it looks like something, I mean, that's the same guy, McCabe is the same guy that Lisa Page and Peter Strzok were talking about. Or that we're pretty sure they were talking about when they said they were talking about their insurance policy.
That's right.
In Andy's office. So they all were talking about, like, oh, maybe that's McCabe they're talking about. So that's all. I mean, we can only really guess what's going on just because we don't know. We haven't read the memo and we haven't read the texts or most of the texts or anything. So
it looks.
But it looks like everything's kind of unfolding.
It looks pretty damning. It looks pretty damning that Andrew McCabe announces his early retirement or is forced to resign within the same hour that Director Ray read the memo. I mean, I don't know.
Yep.
How does that not look horrible for the top of the FBI? I don't know. I've never read it. We've never read it. It's classified. But how can you possibly look at today's news and not say, wow, there must be some serious corruption?
Well, and it all started with Hillary Clinton. Let me just put it that way.
Well, yes, we know that. You don't need to take every opportunity. She's gone.
Not
she
yet.
She has no power.
She needs to be in jail, and then I'll shut up. If she's in jail, I'll never talk about her again. I promise.
Jake, you have a better chance of getting pregnant than Hillary Clinton has of going to jail. You realize that, right?
No.
Yes. It's just not going to happen. I wish, man, but it's not going to happen, buddy. It's not going to happen. How does this all end, Alana? That's a big question. With all of the FBI goings on, fast forward another year. Where are we at?
I don't know. I mean, no big players. I can't see the big people going to jail, obviously, like Hillary. But I think, I don't know. I think some people will be involved in the FBI and the partisan investigation that's been going on. So we'll see.
At least Loretta Lynch. At least.
Jake, what would you do? How would you celebrate Hillary Clinton being in prison?
I would have everybody I've ever met to one party, and we would have, I don't know, a themed, like, murder mystery of all 134 mysterious deaths around Hillary Clinton. We had, like, a party.
I think we'd all be passed out well before we'd even get to the game, you know?
Yeah, probably.
So we end the podcast with something that we've been into in the last week, something positive, something completely non-political. So what have you been into this week? A book you've been reading, a TV show you like, a new album you've been listening to, just something or just something that's going on in your life that's cool. It can't be negative and it can't be political. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm planning another trip back to Italy to visit some family in May.
Ah.
For my birthday, so.
That's cool.
That. Yeah.
A happy early birthday in May.
Thanks.
Never,
how about you guys?
I've never been to Italy.
I've been there a couple times. You know, it's okay.
I was supposed to go to Italy once. I'm in a touring rock and roll band. I was supposed to go to Italy once as a part of our first European tour, and literally the Russians canceled our tour. The Russians colluded to cancel the Southbound Fairing tour. No, literally, the band that we were co-headlining the European tour with is from the Ukraine. And when the Russians annexed Crimea, they were actually barricaded in their homes for like a long time. And so the entire tour got canceled. So I can say we're literally the only rock and roll band to ever have a tour canceled by a Russian invasion. It's a very sad footnote on my career.
A good one for the bucket list.
Yeah. It would have been much cooler story if I actually went to Europe, but you know. Jake, what do you got this week, man?
That's positive?
Yeah. You're not dead.
I'm not dead.
That's miraculous.
Yeah, and the let's just put it this way. I named what was coming. And Philip has left the building.
Ouch.
Yeah.
We're not going to explain that, Alana. You don't want to know. It's not good. Let's say Jake was very sick.
With net neutrality.
He had stage 5 net neutrality and that with the tax cuts, and he almost died of it, but he's recovering. But all right, Alana, where can everybody find you online? Where can everybody check out your work?
At A.R. Mastrangelo.
You might want to spell that for the audience.
A-R-N and then M-A-S-T-R-A-N-G-E-L-O.
I knew that.
Easy.
Yeah, that was easy.
It's easy. And you can check out your work at the Washington Examiner as well, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I write for them from time to time. Washington Examiner and then Turning Point News. But that's mostly what's going on college campuses, if you guys are interested.
Well, always interested in college campuses.
I'm way too old. Yeah. I'm way too old for that. But we have a lot of people that listen to the show that are in college, so definitely check out Turning Point USA. And thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We definitely have to have you back. And everybody follow Alana on Twitter and check out her work at the Washington Examiner. Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. If you haven't already, follow us on Twitter at No Gimmicks Pod. Subscribe on iTunes or SoundCloud. Give us a good rating and review. We'll talk to you on Wednesday, No Gimmicks.